learn how to build your faith on God's Word, and live a life of 100% victory 100% of the time. As you listen to the Senior Pastor, Davis Christian Center, Pastor Kingsley Okunkwo, and expect God's Word to work for you.
Praise the Lord. Okay. This evening, we are dealing with something very interesting. It is titled Hookups, Setups, and Online Dating. Okay? Hookups, Setups, and Online Dating. Okay. Hooking up generally online or even in physical measures has become more and more common at these times that we live. It has become more and more common at these times that we live. I believe that as people are getting maybe older and the desperation is getting more, those things will become more common. In fact, the Bible says in the last days, six women will take hold of the garment of one man and say, just marry us for the name, you know. You don't have to even pay any bills. We'll pay all our own bills. Just, you know, give us the physical or the facade, you know, of the whole marriage thing. So it's becoming more and more common for people to either, for people to hook other people up, you know. I have somebody in my church, or I have somebody, I have one uncle that wants to marry, blah, blah, blah. Today, I'm not here to dispute whether or not it's right. I will have to leave you to make your own decisions if you feel you want to go that route or not. But my job this evening is just to give you some of my own findings based on the Word of God and based from my general study and observation of how these things normally turn out. Praise the Lord. I think the best place for me to start is to start by letting you know that God is not weak. God is not tired. God is not disabled. God is still able to bring his promise to pass in the life of every of his children. God is still able to deliver what he has promised. Praise the Lord. God is still able to deliver. The Bible says God is faithful. If he has promised, he is still able to deliver. God has not resigned. God has not retired. He is still alive and well, doing what only he can do. Marriage is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual union. You cannot really run it well by natural means. Marriage is spiritual. The whole principle and idea of marriage was first given to spiritual people. God gave marriage to Adam and Eve before they fell into sin. He gave them because they were already at a level of understanding of spiritual things. It's a spiritual union. The Bible says God is a spirit, and every good and perfect gift comes from God. So if God is a spirit and is giving you a gift, most likely the gift too is spiritual. It takes a spiritual consciousness, a spiritual aliveness to run marriage, to succeed in marriage. One of the things that is a problem is many people don't want to grow spiritually, yet they just want to marry and enjoy it. It doesn't work like that. We saw from the first marriage, you can always use, I've taught this before, that Genesis chapter 1 and 2 represents God's perfect will, represents how things were before man fell. Everything you see in Genesis 1 and 2 represents the original intent, the original idea that God has. Because by that time, the world was not corrupted. Genesis 1 and 2 represented the perfect idea. And we see the first marriage there. The Bible said, Adam was looking for a wife. And there was not found an help meet for him. He probably was checking all the animals out. Probably. He said he checked all the animals. He named all of them. He said, and there was not found an help meet for him. I thought they would have put up that scripture by now. Let's go to Genesis so that we'll just read through it a bit. Because I think this foundation is important for what we want to do today. Genesis chapter 2. Are we there now? Okay, let me just... Please turn your Bibles if you have your Bible to Genesis chapter 2. I expect that you come with a Bible for these meetings. It's not a show. Praise God. It's not a show. We learn... Why do we read the Bible in this program? Because it was God that started marriage and it was God that wrote the Bible. So this is the best thing to read. You can't read it from internet or from blog or from magazines. This is the Bible that you get the best thing, the best advice on marriage from, because the creator of marriage is here. Okay. Go to from verse 16. I'm trying, that's a long reading. Jump to verse 20. Go to verse 20. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20, please. He said, and the law and Adam gave names to what? I can't hear you people. Adam gave names to what? All the cattle and what? All the fowl of the air and to what? Every beast of the field. So this represented practically all the animals. And for him to give names to them, that means he was going through them one by one. Okay? He was going through them one by one. It says, but for Adam, there was not found what? Did you see that? There was not found an help meet for him. Praise God. Say, for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. Before this time, look at verse 18, sorry. Go to verse 18. Before we read verse 20, let's read verse 18. So that you will get the full picture. Verse 18 says, and who said? So where did the idea of marriage come from? I can't hear you. Where did it come from? God. He said, and God said, because many people today try to think that God is slow. They think God is slack. God is not sharp. He's not fast. But it wasn't even Adam that brought the idea of marriage. Adam was a pure bushman before God himself said, and the Lord God said, verse 18, it is not good that this man should be alone. This is God talking. I will do what? Make him what? An help that is meet for him. It was God that brought the idea. All these things I'm saying, they're important to where I'm going. Because if you think the idea of marriage is your own, then you think you can do it successfully without God. You can only bring God in when you think you need him. No, no, no. God is the one that orchestrated the whole idea from beginning. He's the one that said, I will look for a helpmeet for Adam. So he first said, okay, you know what, Adam? You try and find somebody on your own. And Adam named all the animals. He went through all the beasts. He went through all the cattle. This covered everything. Praise God. He said he went through all the cattle, all the fowl, all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, there was not found what? An helpmeet for him. See verse 21. And the Lord God did what? Caused a deep sleep to do what? Fall on Adam, and he slept. And what happened? Took one of his ribs and closed up. Now, it was God that even put Adam to sleep. I'm trying to show you how involved God is in this whole process. He put him into a deep sleep and closed up the flesh. Verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he what? A woman, and did what? Brought her unto the man. So, God brought the idea. God started the process. God even made them to meet. He said he brought the woman. So, God made them meet. God is still a matchmaker. He made them to meet. He made them to meet. God brought the woman. Verse, what is that? Verse 22, Abi, and brought her unto the man. See verse 23. And Adam said, this is now what? Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called what? Woman, because she was what? Taken out of man. And he said, therefore shall a man and all that and all that. So we see how active God was in this whole process. He wasn't just a passerby. He wasn't just, you know, there. God was the one that started the process. God continued the process. God completed the process. God is still very much involved in hooking people up. God is still very much involved in making people meet. If you really desire a great marriage, I want to encourage you that it's important to know God so that you will know when and how He is leading you. Too many young people today don't want to know God. They don't want to grow spiritually. They just want to learn about marriage. You cannot just learn about marriage in isolation. You must learn about your spiritual life. You must learn about God. That is what will help you choose right. That is what will help you do it right. But if you remove God from the picture, there is no way you can do it right. You don't even have the equipment to do it right. God is very much involved. Let's see some other scriptures. When we're young in the Lord, we saw this scripture and we began to misunderstand it. The scripture in Proverbs 18 or so, that says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. DJ, put that up. Proverbs 18. Say, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor. So we began to think that the Bible said you should go and find. And that was what we thought then. Oh, so we began to find. I always share my own story. Me too. I understand where a lot of people that do some kind of things, that do desperate things, I understand where you're coming from, because I went through some of that too in my Christian life. When you start to hustle, you thought, we must find. So you begin to hustle. Anything that involves hustling, God is not in it. Praise God. God doesn't hustle. He said, whoso findeth a wife, findeth. So we thought that they mean we should start finding. So we began to find. I've shared my story. I had scouts in different good churches. Scouts, so I told them, if you see any good girl, born again girl, because I'm not ready for nonsense, really born again girl that loves the Lord, let me know. And from time to time, my contacts will update me that we have seen one now. Come now. She's about to leave. You have to come here now. Ha! Whatever I'm doing, I'll round it up quickly. Pow! Enter car. Psh! See speed racing. Psh! Beat all the traffic to get there. When I get there, I say, where is she? She says, Nambi, that. I say, where? She says, Nambi, that. I say, where? That's why you told me to drive here. I say, why you know Mariam? I will leave. Some weeks again, they'll come again. Hey! We have seen the real one now. Start coming. I will enter road. I went around the four corners of Lagos. I'm serious. I don't like driving in Lagos. But I drove. Pew! One, they come in Badagry. Agbara side. Seriously. Agbara. Pew! I enter. Psh! Got there. I said, where is she? I said, where? One of them, as we were talking, the gist was so, I was so bored. She was like, you're not talking. I just, I have nothing to say. She said, I'll be going in my mind. I'm saying, go. Because it's how I will tell you to go that I'm thinking. So if you can even initiate it by yourself, the Lord, I will give you transport. Very bored. I had nothing to say. So I suffered though. And I've learned over the years, the one that God gives you is always sweeter than the one that you get for yourself. Young people, I know your body is hot. I know your blood is hot. I feel you. I've been there. But trust me, the one that you get for yourself is never going to be as sweet as the one that God gives you. The Bible said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and adds no sorrow. The blessing of man, it's tough, oh. It's tough. Sarah tried it to get a child out in her own power. She gave birth to Ishmael. It wasn't a joke. Praise God. So this scripture, we thought it meant Proverbs 18, that he go and find. It was later, as we began to grow, we discovered that there is nothing in this life God wants you to just find in your own power. God wants to be a part of your everyday life. The Bible said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall what? I shall not want. You won't lack anything that is important to you if you allow God to be your shepherd. If God is the leader of your life, there's nothing you will lack. Even when he appears there is danger, he says he will protect you. He will make us to lie down in green pastures. As Christians, we don't follow green pastures. Wherever God leads us, will become green. He makes us to lie down in what? Green pastures. Later, we began to read down the line. The Bible says houses and wealth are an inheritance of the fathers. It said, but a prudent wife can only come from the Lord. Very interesting. He said, a prudent wife, you can't find that one in your power. He said, you can inherit houses. You can inherit riches. That means people can give you those ones. People can give you money. People can give you a job. But when it comes to a wife, they say it is the sole preserve of heaven to distribute that one. A prudent wife. Oh, if it's just a fine wife you want. If you have cash, you can buy a wife. You can buy a fine wife. You can even buy the Miss World if you have enough money. Are you getting what I'm saying? If it's a fine wife you want, you can buy it. They are all available for sale. At the right price, you can negotiate. Hallelujah. Proverbs 19:14, just the next chapter after the one we read now. It says what? House and what? Riches are what? They are the inheritance. That means a father can hand over that one to you. But he said, and a prudent wife comes from where? I can't hear you people. Comes from where? So you see, they're bringing us back to what happened in Genesis. God still wants to be involved in hooking you up. He wants to be involved. In fact, I like the way they said in Proverbs 31. They say, virtuous woman, who can find? The same thing they are saying. Because some people don't know how to read the Bible. You can use Bible to interpret Bible. It's very simple. When you see scriptures being repeated like that, they are telling you the real point there. They say, if you look at it, Proverbs 31 verse 10. It says, who can find what? A virtuous woman. You can't find her. You can't buy her also. Say, her price is what? Far above. They don't buy those ones. You can be a billionaire and still not be able to get a virtuous woman. You can get a fine woman, no? But she might not have sense. She might not have virtue. But a virtuous wife, you can even be broke. You can have 2 naira. But if you are following the Lord, if you are following the Lord, you will get one. You don't need all the money in the world to get a virtuous woman. You just need to be led by God. Is somebody here today? He said, a virtuous woman, who can find? You can't find her in your power. He said, you can't even buy her. Her price is far above rubies. And many ladies miss out on a good man because the man doesn't have money. Some of the men that look poor today, they are going to be mega millionaires in the future. As a woman, you must be spiritual. If you're not spiritual, you will miss your husband like 10 times. 10 times. Because he doesn't have a car. Because he looks thin now. He says his neck is too thin. Are you kidding? You need to see my picture. You need to see my picture before I got married. Women are, you know, if you're carnal, you're going to miss God. There's no way. That's what I'm saying. Your spiritual life, you can't separate it from this issue. You can't separate your spiritual life. I just want to have a good marriage. It doesn't work like that. Because marriage itself is spiritual. You will miss it over and over again if you're following just the looks. Our president said he didn't wear shoe when he went to school. Many women would have missed that over and over again. If a man comes to you now that's not wearing shoe, will you answer him? Praise God. So God still wants to be involved. Bible says we should trust in the Lord. We have to learn to trust in God. Many people don't want to do that. Trust in God means you will live the issue, trust that he's working it out. Trust that he has a plan for your life. Trust that he's working it out. Trust that he's working it out. Trust that he's working it out. Now let's move a bit to the hookups and setups. On that popular story here, we find some people try to use that story to mean that, oh, people can look for wife for you. They bring up the story of Abraham and Isaac and his servant. I think it's in Genesis 24. Abraham wanted to get a wife for Isaac. And Abraham now sent his servant, that is an elderly man, to go and look for a wife. Now, first thing I need you to understand is that it's not every story in the Bible that is a principle. Sometimes the Bible is just telling you, narrating what happened. They are not saying this is how you should do it. For instance, there are times that Abraham said, told his wife to lie that they are sisters. Even though they were half sisters and brother also. But in that particular case, he was saying it to deceive people to believe that he's not married to her. So that doesn't mean you should go and do that. Okay, there are many things in the Bible that is not for you to act on. They are just narrating what happened. And that story is one of it. They are not saying that if you are looking for a wife, you must go and get your servant or get a consultancy or company or whatever to look for a wife for you. They are not saying it's a principle. However, in the way the guy went about it, we can see some principles in there. First thing that the guy did when Abraham sent him to go and get the wife, Abraham gave him some basic guidelines. He said, number one, you cannot marry somebody that is not from our tribe. Now, for us as New Testament believers, born-again Christians, it is not tribe as in village, Enugu, Ondo. That's not what they are talking here. For us as believers now, what that represents is that you must marry someone that is a believer like you. Someone that is a born-again Christian like you. They are not talking about tribe, of natural tribe. You see, in their own time, it was only the tribe of Israel that worshipped the true God. All those other tribes around them were worshipping idols. So Abraham was telling the servant, make sure you marry from somebody that is from Israelite or from our own lineage or our own tribe that worships the true God. Do you understand? That thing was not tribal, it was spiritual. Is somebody getting this, please? So what Abraham, I don't know if the story, so it's here, I can't read it, there's no time, but you can read on your Genesis 24. So Abraham, look at what, and I will make this swear, this was Abraham telling his servant, I will make this swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife for my son from the daughters of Canaanites, among whom I dwell. He said, you must take it from our own kindred, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto, we're just saying, marry from our own type. It was more of a spiritual thing, not just tribal in terms of my village. Praise God. The second thing that you will notice in that scripture was when the guy was going, one of the first things that the guy did was to pray. The guy prayed. If you are going to successfully find a wife, number one, there must be spirit. Somebody asked me a very interesting question. I was counseling somebody and I asked her, this guy in question that you are talking about. Those are one of the first questions I asked. Are you born again? Yes. Is the person you are talking about, is he born again? So that we know from what level to even relate with him. So I asked her, is she born again? She said she is. I said, the guy in question that you are having this issue with, is the guy born again? She said, Pastor, how can I know? That nobody knows the thoughts. Nobody knows the heart. I asked her on that very simple question. I said, the guy, is he a Nigerian? She said, yes, he's a Nigerian. I said, how do you know? If you're a Nigerian, it's very easy for you to know another Nigerian. Am I correct? If you are born again, if you are really born again and spirit-filled, if you talk to somebody for at least 30 minutes, you can know what rules their life. You can know. If you are spiritually alive, not that if you're excited about marriage. If you're spiritual, because most men, they're just thinking about how fast this marriage can hold. He says, so what work do you do? How does August sound in your spirit? You see, they're thinking about marriage. They're not thinking about, do I even know this person? So if you're sincere with yourself and you're a real believer, it's very easy to know another believer. Okay. So I said, the second thing the guy did was the guy prayed for God to guide him. If you're going through this process, please be humble enough, be patient enough to pray and submit the thing to God. Really, I don't mean pray religious prayer. You are praying and really submitting to God. Number three, you'll notice about that guy, is that the guy also knew the qualities to look out for in a spouse. Many people are praying for a husband or a wife. They don't know the right. I'm not talking about your own qualities. You have your own qualities. I'm not talking about that one. Your own qualities sometimes are very, are carnal. You some girls, they write list for you here. He must be tall. At least 7 feet. Now at least be that one. He must be very tall. Then he must be fair. Yellow, I like yellow boys.
then he must have 6-pack or 8. He must have at least 2 cars so that I can use one. All those ones are carnal things. All those ones are carnal things. God has not promised that the man must be all those things when he meets you. So you need to know the real qualities. This guy prayed. Number two, he based his choice on the real qualities. He said, God, whichever lady I meet, the guy had 10 camels. Camels drink a lot of water in one go. The guy said, Lord, whichever girl I meet in the place where girls fetch water, that is willing to give me water and give my camels water, that's the girl I will follow. That's not fleecing. That's not, if I meet a girl wearing red. No, that's not fleecing. He was looking at qualities. Number one, any girl that was fetching water at that time was a girl that was doing housework at that time. You know, nowadays, girls, most of them don't do housework. I pity the young men marrying today. Oh. The girl has not done her nail, she can't do housework for you. She never paint nail finish now. She has not finished doing makeup now. Your housework she could do for you. So they had all those problems too that time. So what the guy was saying was, any girl that I see sweeping in the morning, I know that this girl has woken up early to do housework. She has some sense. There are girls today that if you see them sleeping, if you see sleep, you go fear sleep now. She got up, the way she lied, you can't even find her leg. Sleep. Then comes his snoring. Lazy. And this by 12 o'clock in the afternoon. This by 12 o'clock and does never wake up. She was watching a movie overnight. She never wake up. So that's what the guy was saying. The guy was saying, any girl I see fetching water at this time, that means she's a well-trained girl. She's a well-cultured girl. She can do housework. Those are the qualities that matter at the end of the day. Then the second thing he said was that, and if she's willing to give me all those things, that means she's a girl that can serve. She has a kind heart. Now listen. Now remember that this servant was an old man. He wasn't even eligible for marriage. He's an old man. Nobody will look at him. You see, many girls are only nice to eligible bachelors. That's the mistake. And I'm saying this now, especially to those of you that are still young. Be having sense. Now, don't wait till you're old and it becomes a rescue mission to make you marry. Now that you're young, I'm serious. Not to those of you are young now. Be smart. Because many young girls now, they don't. I see how some of you treat guys in church. Oh, I know that me, I'm your pastor. You greet me well. I'm not talking about me. I mean how you're greeting the other guy in your department. That ordinary guy that's an usher with you or in meters and greeters or in the choir that doesn't have a car, doesn't even have a job now. He looks very ordinary. I see the way you talk to him. You're already disqualifying yourself. He might not be eligible to you, but he's eligible as far as God is concerned. Because God gives everything he gives in seed form. If you don't know that, you will miss God's blessing all the time. If God gives you something that is very ripe, it will even get to your hand. Do you understand? If God is giving you something that is ripe, it won't get to where people go down hijack and for road. So he puts it in seed form. Nobody wants seed because they don't have time. But he puts it in seed form, gives you the grace for patience to take it and cultivate it. And when it grows, people come together, you say, oh boy, you are blessed though. You tell them, if you know how this thing look when it come, you know, go think so. Too many girls have missed it. They look at the guy, he's not eligible. They say, get out, I don't have time. Say, hi, say what? I don't have time for your type. You are not my class. They are looking for the guy. Then they see a fine boy, tall, fine boy, fine suit, fine shirt, has a great job, has a great car. That's one they are. Anything the guy say, they will laugh. Say, how are you? Say, how am I? You are so funny. They are just smiling. And you think we don't know. We know when you are tripping for a guy, girls. Especially as your pastors, we know. We know when you're following a guy more than normal. We are pastors now. I've been on this job for about 20 years. So I know. Anytime they say you do any follow-up or anything, you're always around one particular area alone. We know. We know it's not the work of the Lord that's taking you there. Anything. Shake your neighbor. You will leave here and go and shake your neighbor in another place. Shake your neighbor and you cross, jump 10 people. You think we don't know. We are watching you. We are watching. The protocol department are aware. We are watching you. Praise God. So you see girls, a lot of them are carnal. So they're only nice to the guy that looks like it. Meanwhile, sometimes that guy is just a scammer. He's a scam artist. He's deceiving many girls at the same time. You're just wasting your time. Meanwhile, the real one that will love you, that will be faithful, that he doesn't look like it now. The reason why he looks like this, so that other girls won't block the road before you get there, is he looks ordinary now. You won't take it. You want a fight. Many single guys, if they paint the picture of their ideal man, the man is already married. Ask any single guy. Sit her down. By the time she finish describing the person she's talking about, that person is somebody's husband. A fine, smooth skin, handsome, has a good... Now, married man, they describe, okay? Most single men, their neck is thin. They are not well-dressed. They are rugged. That's why they are bringing you into the picture, so that you will perfect their life. Say, his mouth is smelling. Thank God you can smell it. A problem discovered is a problem. So, that's why you're a woman now. It's my smelly. Yeah, you have Isaiah, you have the toil. The moment he proposed like this, that same day, you tie him down and Isaiah the toil and iron sponge. That's fine. That's fine. It's delivered immediately. Praise God. So many people miss it. So they will not be nice to ordinary guys. They just want to be nice to fine boys. So this guy was an old man. He knew that any woman that can be nice to him, even though they know he can't marry them, that's a really good person. That one is not pretending. I see people all the time. Tell me, Pastor, how do I know who is pretending and who is not pretending? It's very easy. Just be their friend. You will see how they really think. You will hear their statements. You see how they judge things. How they determine what is good and what's not good. You will see it. You will see who are they kind to. Are they only kind to the big boys? Or are they kind to people that don't have anything to give them? That's how you will know their character. Don't judge by how they treat their pastor. Everybody treats pastor nice, even though they might not feel that in their heart. But they say, come on, how is that? No, check how he treats the ordinary guy. The ordinary guy in his department. That's what you should look for. Praise God. So this guy wasn't just fleecing. He had some qualities in place. If you're a single person here and you don't know the qualities in a good husband and a good wife, I can't help you more than you want to help yourself. I have a book there titled, Who Should I Marry? I have many other books and materials and series that have majored on the qualities. The qualities to look out for in a guy, the qualities to look at. There are many of those CDs and teachings. I have them there. Please buy them for your own good. I'm not talking about your own qualities, oh, that he must speak for now. He must have pointed nose. All these canards I'm talking about. Forget all those canards things. Some men say she must have long hair. How many Nigerian girls get long hair? Real hair. They buy long hair. It can be bought. There's no ugly woman. If you work hard and have money, your wife will be fine. Every woman can be fine. Have you ever seen an ugly woman in a very fine car? It never happens. When you see a very expensive car, usually they've also invested in the person driving the car. She too will look good. All women beauty can be acquired. With the right cream, she buys hair, she buys eyes, she buys eyelashes, she buys foundation, bronzer, lipstick, and other accessories. She will be fine. If she's too big, she can lose weight. Don't worry. With the right motivation, a woman can lose weight. Don't worry. You are looking at the wrong things. Because you're even assuming that the one that you marry slim will remain slim till she die. It's an assumption. Except she's not eating with this, but we are eating her. And by the time she gives birth, most likely she might not be that slim. She will still have to work on herself to lose weight. So what you need to look for is that determination. She might not be slim now. All those things are assumptions. It's because you have even programmed your mind to think that a woman that is very slim is finer than the one that is not very slim. Who told you? At the end of the day, a woman is still a woman. They all have the same things installed. At the end of the day. slim or fat. The real thing that can't be easily found is virtue. Outward, basically the same accessories. Okay. Let's move now further to the internet dating and hookups. I have about 7 or so issues that I think you should consider or you should think about when it comes to hooking people up or doing internet or online dating. My first challenge with hooking up, and like I told you, I understand though, when you start getting desperate, people start getting concerned about you. Say, hey, sister, when you go marry, this, before you know it, they'll start suggesting things that let me hook you up. I have one cousin, I have one uncle that is coming from America. All those people that they are hooking up from outside the country, 99.9999% of those guys are married. I've been on this job for 20 years, my brother. So I'm not telling you speculation. I'm telling you real-life situations I deal with almost on a daily basis. I've been doing this job 20 strong years. All those people, they are hooking you up on emergency from abroad. 99.9999% of them are married. Either legally or illegally. Either arrangee or unarrangee. Most of those people are married to somebody else outside. Do you really want that complication in your life? If you're okay with it, it's fine. I'm not here to tell you what to do. But if you're fine with that kind of complication in the name of marriage, it's your call. But you see, in the first place, you should be so satisfied and happy with the kind of life you're living as a single person that before you decide to marry, it must be an upgrade. Not that you're moving from freedom to bondage. Some people is a degrade. 99% of those people are married. Most of those people are hooking you up. I have an uncle. And most of those people are very old. How old is he? 68. He has 3 children. Children are even bigger and older than you. Be careful. I have about 6 issues or 7 issues I need you to concern about. Number one, usually when they do hooking up or online dating thing, it's usually an all-comers affair. What that means is that when it comes to online dating or hooking up, anybody and everybody qualifies. You cannot have taste or class if you go for online dating. A madman, a lunatic, a murderer can apply like you. He can apply and click you. It's like, you see, there are some things they sell. When they sell it, they put it in a show glass. In fact, they put it in a plant. In fact, I and my wife, we went to those of you if you are into shopping, you know a place called Jermyn Street in London. So we went to shop Jermyn Street. So all the big names are there. My wife is always the one advising me. Me, I like good things. So I saw one shop where they were selling cufflinks. You know cufflinks? This small metal thing that you put to hold your shirt. So we passed the shop the first time. There was nobody in the shop. Let me advise you now. Anytime you travel or go anywhere, they're selling something, and there's nobody in the shop, don't enter the shop. There's a reason why there's nobody there. I mean, if it's a street that many people are passing on, and nobody, they enter. No enter. My wife's always warning me, don't enter. But me, I'm too curious. I said, this shop looks like they'll have good things. We pass. My wife said, no enter. We passed the first time. The second time, I said, I must enter. She said, no enter. I said, I must enter. I told her, let's go. She said, she will not follow me. I should go on my own. When I came out with what I saw, I told her, so you left me to go and see, to go and experience that thing myself. You didn't follow me. She said, it's not going. I should go myself. My brother, they said cufflinks. When I got there, you have to first press intercom. They will now look at who are you are before they open the door for cuffling. Not that I know, say, it's not normal cuffling they're selling. if they even censor the people that enter the shop, then you're going to say they're not playing with you. So I first press, dong, they come look, say, hello, yeah. Can I help you? Ah. I said, I want to see what you are selling. I said, just a minute, they don't look me. They come open the door come open from inside. Door, you understand? The shop that they don't allow anybody enter. When I entered, now cufflinks, I said, how much is this one? The guy said, it's about £4,000. said, what of this one? £4,000. Please, how much is £4,000? Eh? Calculator. Over ~1 million. About one million naira. Cufflink. Most the cufflinks there were pure gold, pure silver, titanium, all those kind of things. I can't ask on that one. They said £10,000. I said, you are trying. God help. You are trying. God will help your business. ₦2 million for cufflink. How much I come buy the shirt? So I want. If you buy ₦2 million cufflink, you don't go around with shirt now. You hang on for your neck now. With your bare body. You must dress in a way that people will ask you what's wrong. You now explain to them. Say, come, my brother, let me tell you. Come and see. Come and see what I use my eyes. See, come. Show them. £10,000. You must look for trouble now. You can't go out to clothes. You hang your cufflink and walking about. When you enter, people go ask you what's wrong. Say, come. Come and see what's wrong. So after I call worker, you know, encourage the guys. He can always help you sell. Now the thing says, so I go tell these guys how they go now. I go tell this guy. So after a while, God gave me boldness to tell him that I'm going. Because the door is locked. You know, I didn't get to open the door for me. You can't sneak out. Door is locked. High security door. So when I come out, I go to my wife and say, so you let me go there myself. You see, why are they doing all that security? They've already told you that what they are selling, by that security system, they tell you that what they are selling there is not for just anybody loafing around. It's not for jokers. I went for a car show somewhere out of the country too. You know, a car show, all car companies were there. All that small companies though, I don't want to mention names so that it won't look bad. All that small car makers, they're even looking for people. Say, hey, come in, sir, come and look at the car. Oh, you come and say, hey, sit down, you go put it on, they go through your leg, you're gonna tell you. So this is they're gonna market you. I can't go where they send me back. Maybach is like the senior Benz. It's the Benz company, but the high-class one. And Rolls Royce. When I first reached there, carpet day. Then get chain. But as a rugged Nigerian, I've been entering other car, I don't believe not be car show. When I'm passing, excuse me? They stop me. Say, excuse me? I said, I want to. He said, wait. Are you invited? I say, invited? Not be casual. I say, no. This one, you must be invited. You can't come and match this rock. Come on, everyone. Then drive me back. So, must be invited. Because the person where they buy me back, no person where they pass by. You know, there's some things you didn't plan to buy. You're just passing. You just see it. You buy. Me back. You go and prepare. You save for some years. Then you prepare. Nobody say they pass by. They say some just stop. Hey, what did they say here? So, but anytime you open yourself up to be hooked up or to do online dating, it's an all-commerce affair. Everybody's free. And you see, once something's an all-commerce affair, everybody's free to price anything they like. So you go see somebody, you go see that kind of cufflink, maybe £10,000 now. They go say, okay, so how much do you want to pay? Go look at him, sir. Shekugba, £50. But by the time you've seen how they press door for you to enter, you've seen how, when you told the man you're interested in one, how he wore glove to open the cabinet to bring the thing out. You know that you can't tell him nonsense. You to shame, no go even greet you. He no want you, but you want yourself. You will misbehave. I'll show you a video. I don't know if I'm ready to watch the video.
Nigeria. I'm searching for a young lady, preferable yellow in color, somebody that is sharing the same hobbies with me. My hobbies is washing ball, catching fun, fearing God, going to night vigil. Contact me on WhatsApp, Facebook, I'm also on Pingin. From Yoruba Hero.
One more time. Play it one more time.
Bahiri of Nigeria. I'm searching for a young lady, preferable yellow in color, somebody that is sharing the same hobbies with me. My hobbies is washing ball, catching fun, fearing God, going to night VG. Contact me on WhatsApp, Facebook. I'm also on Pinging.
That's online dating for you. It's an all-commerce affair. One house, please. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You notice that 9VG was his hobby. And he still has time to go on this on this platform to advertise himself. If 9VG is your hobby, trust me, you won't have time to be. It's an all-commerce affair. He says his hobby is fearing God. Fearing God is his hobby. So his religion might be jogging. Praise God. So number one is an all-commerce affair. Number two, it usually reeks of desperation. That means it's a mark of desperation usually. For you to offer yourself to be hooked up, or for you to try to hook up with people online, generally it portrays the idea that you are desperate, which also means that anybody that meets you there would generally not treat you special because you are not. It marks desperation. It just shows desperation. It shows desperation. It shows you can't wait. You are in a hurry. So it's usually a game for impatient people. Game for impatient people. Number three. The chance or the chances for deception is higher. The chance or chances for deception is higher. Usually when people, like that guy now, if somebody's saying his hobby is fearing God, you know he doesn't even know God. If he calls it a hobby. Fearing God is not a hobby, it's a life. Praise God. So the chances for deception is higher. I sometimes listen to radio when people do all those hookup people. You see them calling and say, hey, my name is John. I have a very good job. I'm tall, I'm handsome, I'm nice, I'm kind, I'm patient. But I'm 50 years old, I'm not married. And you are this great. You have no problem. Because nobody comes online and tells you their problem. Nobody calls, nobody puts their profile online for dating and says, I'm stubborn. I'm very angry. I have anger problem. No, everybody's going to say something sweet. I'm kind, I'm nice, I'm lovely. If you see me, Nobody's going to come there and say, I cannot cook, I'm lazy, I'm dirty. You can't see it today on profile. I'm very dirty. You can't see it there. I smell. I have bad mouth odor. I have body odor. Nobody can write it there. They will write good things. I'm smart. I'm beautiful. You to see me. Oh, you just fall in love. Everybody, the chance to deceive is so high. Next thing that is an issue of concern for me is that when you do hookups or online dating, you have quickened the process of a real relationship. You have quickened the process of a real relationship. In a real relationship, there is a process that takes place. That process in itself usually is helpful for the relationship when it matures. What they told us about the caterpillar when it wants to become a butterfly. They said if you help the caterpillar come out, or if you help a bird come out of his shell, that struggle, I think they said so about an eagle too, that struggle of coming out of that egg is where they gain the strength that they will still use to fly. If you help them to come out, they will not be able to fly. That's how it is. You have quickened the process of mystery. You have quickened the process of real friendship. Two people that don't know themselves, just do them, come and marry. They are not friends. So they marry. They are doing the process in reverse. They marry first, then start trying to become friends. Instead of being friends, then marry. They are married first, then they say, hey, what are your likes and dislikes? This is your wife.
Most times, it causes a struggle. Number what am I? Number five. You are usually an option to the person. You are never the only one. Anybody that is involved in hookups knows the principle. The principle hookups is that you must get at least two or three options. Do you understand? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. If you're looking for a house, for instance, if you have an agent looking for a house for you, usually when the agent calls you to come and check houses, does he call you to come and check one house? I can't hear you. Does he call you to come and check one house? He gets you what? Two or three or four or five options. Whenever they give your name to somebody to hook up or give your, you are, or somebody is, you are on an online dating site, you are one of the many options the person is checking out. There's nothing special about you. It just kills the whole thing of what a real union should be. You are an option. So as he's calling you, say, let's see on Monday, 6 o'clock. Don't miss your appointment, though, because he has an appointment for 8 o'clock with another person entirely. People have different time slots. If you miss your time, say you are late, you have missed it. I'm with another person now. You wait again, I reschedule you for next week. Because I'm seeing one client every week. You are usually an option. You are usually an option. It's never only you. It's never only you in the picture. And lastly, you usually, whenever you do those online things or hookup things, you usually do not know the person. You don't know the person you are talking to. You know, online, if you are on Facebook, you know that many people will write you and say, my name is so-and-so. Say, contact me on this email. Do they send you those? Sometimes a guy, you just look for a lady's picture. You saw the drama now. You look for a lady's picture. Fine girl, I did. Just send. Somebody, the picture they will use is not the real picture. It's their picture 10 years ago. Time you see the man. See? Hey? You see bald head. Very old man. But in the picture, he was six-pack, wearing a three-quarter trouser and red canvas. When you see him for real life, that time you go see the old man. You never really know the person. You don't know who you are dealing with. He might not even be a guy at all. He might be a killer. He might be a 419 guy. He might be a drug dealer. You do not know him. You do not know her. Online, you know, you can be writing something and not be feeling it. You can just put smile. Where you are, you are frowning. But you can go. There's a lot of make-believe. You can write things that is not true. And I've seen these things over and over and over again. Once, you see, because anybody that can commit to you online usually has told you they are not very serious about commitment. So they are easily deceived. But 90% of the time, they are deceived. There was a story that happened in this neighborhood, in Festac here. Right in this our neighborhood, in Festac here. Where some young guys, and this was their practice. This is what they normally do. There are a lot of people on the net that they just prowl about looking for who to destroy. They go to and fro the net, seeking whom they may devour. So these guys, this was their practice. They will meet a girl online, either toast her or do have a business deal with her, whatever, online, and get her to come to Lagos, get her to a hotel. They will drug her, sleep with her, and rob her, and discharge from there. This was their practice. So this was 2012 or 2013, I can't remember. They invited one girl. The girl was the only daughter of her parents, the last born and the only daughter of her parents. They invited her from somewhere from the north. She got to Festac Town. They took her to a hotel. She had never met these guys before, except online. They took her to a hotel. They drugged her. They raped her. And they killed her. This is not movie. This is real story here in this neighborhood where we are standing now. That's where this thing happened. They didn't slap her. I said they drugged her. They raped her. And they killed her. Through life story, the guys were later caught. They confessed to this crime themselves and said this is what their practice. So I don't see anybody that is really smart that will be chatting with somebody online and say they are in love. Somebody you have not met. Somebody you don't know. People will not really be themselves. People, you can't have a real quarrel online. What
What are you writing? I'm angry. And you have not seen real anger. When you see him face to face, you will know if his anger is number one. So when they are angry, their eye goes inside. Everything is white. Then a red one comes down. You know, it turns to a demon when he's angry. So too many people have entered real crisis. I've personally canceled someone or some people that they hooked them up to somebody that was homosexual. How do you know? You don't know the person. Somebody hooked you up. It's an all-comers affair. The level of deceit is very high. The person might not even be a human being. You don't even know. How can you tell whether he's a real Christian? You don't know. So in my own little wisdom, I would advise you, let's trust God. I know you are in a hurry. I know it seems God is taking time, but trust me, God makes all things beautiful in his own time. Sorry, when he does his own, it's clear that he has done it. When you do it by your strength, the struggle is usually too much. Have you been blessed today?
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.